On September the 4th, which was Eid al-Fitr, after saying the Eid al-Fitr prayer and listening to the sermon of martyr Ayatollah Dr. Bahonar, the people of Tehran held a self-initiated demonstration. This demonstration started from Polirumi district, and after reaching Pichashemiran, the demonstration included more than 1 million people. In Pichashemiran, the demonstrating crowd said their noon and afternoon prayers together. During the demonstration, the people shouted harsh slogans against the king and the Pahlavi government, and slogans in favor of Imam Khomeini and the great thoughts of that chaste leader. Some of them planned to gather at Jale Square on Friday. The Pahlavi regime and the so-called government of national reconciliation were frightened of this monumental movement and decided to show their power to the people. From late June 1978, Isfahan was under curfew. In late June, the officials of the regime suggested to the king to impose a curfew. General Oveisi was one of the senior officers of the army who owed his position and property to the king after the massacre of June the 5th, 1963. Whenever a curfew was successful, it was used as a solution to fight against anti-governmental activities all over the country. The king reminded Oveisi of some details of the operation. The next day, Dariush Humayun, the government's spokesman, organized a radio and television interview.
با توجه به اینکه دولت اعلام حکومت نظامی کرده در اصفهان، این مسئله پیش میاد که آیا در دولت در موضع خودش در قبال آشوب‌ها تغییری داده؟
به هیچ وجه تغییری نداده و تصمیم قطعی دولت این بوده است و این هست و خواهد بود که به هر وسیله قانونی که در اختیار داره و با کمال شدت جلوی آشوبگری و خرابکاری رو بگیره و مانع اخلال نظم و مانع برهم خوردن برنامه گسترش فضای سیاسی کشور بشود، چون قصد اصلی این عناصر این است که در این برنامه اخلال ایجاد بکنند و به هیچ وجه سیاست دولت تغییر نکند.
General Naji was appointed as the Marshal Governor of Isfahan and the person who saved the king's government in that city. This is his picture when he was threatening the people that a curfew would be imposed. In those days, when Sharif Emami's government tried to deceive the people by using the title of national reconciliation and with pretenses such as closing the gambling houses and cabarets and increasing the salary of the employees, the king's regime was after making the preparations for frightening the people in its numerous confidential meetings. On Friday, September the 8th, 1978, at 6 in the morning, the first declaration of the curfew was distributed. The reason why the curfew was established at 6 a.m. on a holiday was to keep the people uninformed. The Pahlavi regime could have announced this decision in the news the night before. The Pahlavi government's purpose of imposing a curfew wasn't only to frighten the people, but instead to avenge the political activities of the people in the previous couple of months based on the regulations of curfew and to show that they were willing to violate all ethical and humanistic principles to protect their government. Ironically, Sharif Emami's government submitted the bill of a curfew in Tehran and other cities to the parliament on September the 13th, which was 5 days after the tragedy of September the 8th, when the curfew had practically started in Tehran and 11 other cities. This bill was enacted on September the 17th by the parliament. The king killed the people first and then submitted the bill. The parliament, which wanted to pretend to be free and a supporter of people's rights, led a pretense of incomplete and baseless democracy, and after controversial speeches of the representatives, obeyed the command of the Pahlavi court and enacted those bills, and therefore approved the crimes of the government.
این دولت که خودش موافقه همه اینا رو گفته و اگر حکومت نظامی نشده بود آقایون من نمیدونم امروز ما میتونستیم اینجا صحبت کنیم یا خیر
از امروز بنده شریف امامی 20 روز پیش دیگر نیستم بنده نه به خودم نه به بستگانم نه به دوستانم دیگر فکر نخواهم کرد فقط به مصالح مملکت
To the officials of the Pahlavi regime, the bloody event of September the 8th, in which in Tehran alone 97 people were killed and 25 were wounded, was a turning point in the separation of the people from the government. According to eyewitnesses, the number of the martyrs on that day amounted to 100. The plot, dedicated to the martyrs of September the 8th in Behesht Zahra graveyard, shows that the statistics of Sharif Emami's government was very far from reality, as expected. Some days before September the 8th, Hua Qifin, the leader of Communist China, entered Tehran to pay a formal visit to the king. The Pahlavi regime considered this visit by the greatest communist country in the world as a political privilege. Some months later, when the Pahlavi regime collapsed in Iran, Hua Qifin, China's leader, offered a formal apology to the Iranian people and to Imam Khomeini for his visit to Tehran in those days. 48 hours after the event of September the 8th, General Zia-ul-Haq, Pakistan's president, entered Tehran too and visited the king. On September the 10th, the king had a half-hour-long telephone conversation with Carter about what was happening in Iran, especially the event of September the 8th. 9 months before, Carter had introduced Mohammad Reza Pahlavi as a unique leader and called Iran an island of stability. But now, he was asking him about the amount of blood that was shed in different cities of the country. The day before, Ardeshir Zahedi had conveyed to the king the message of support from Carter. The massacre of the people on September the 8th, especially in Tehran, was followed by a deadly silence. Many of the national political figures were disappointed from continuing the movement. On the other hand, low-born figures such as Ali Amini felt that after the massacre and the knockout of the religious leaders and their followers out of the ring, political brokers like him should be active in politics. However, it was the message and the resourcefulness of that wise and experienced old man which removed the disappointment from the hearts of people. With his words, which were full of affection toward the people he loved very much, Imam Khomeini asked the people to continue their movement until they celebrated the final victory. That great man wrote in his message, "The honorable and brave people of Iran, The king proved again that he has no place among the people by imposing a curfew in Tehran and other big cities of Iran. As the radio and Iranian press have admitted, imposing a curfew in a peaceful atmosphere in which the people were demonstrating peacefully is not only illegal, but also a crime, and the person who has given this command is a criminal. I don't have information about the number of people killed and wounded, but our intelligence service reported hundreds of casualties, perhaps more than 1,000. Now it is the duty of the brave people of Iran to provide their numerous wounded fellow countrymen with blood, medicine, and food by any possible means, and not to refuse to help them financially. Iran has a red countenance today due to the blood of the martyrs, but braveness and liveliness can be seen in any corner of this country. Yes, this is the road taken by Imam Ali, peace be upon him, and Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. I wish that I were among you and I were killed along with you in the front of defense for the sake of God. Imam Khomeini's great sorrow for the tragedy of September the 8th was not relieved by merely giving that message. So he sent another message on September the 12th, 1978, and said, "We are all created for God. We live for God, and when we die, we do not disappear, but rather go toward God. God bless them. These are the people who achieve the goal of humanity. I express my condolences and at the same time congratulate the grieved families of September the 8th. I swear to God that Mustafa, who was martyred less than 1 year ago, was not my only son, but all the martyrs of September the 8th were my sons." The event of September the 8th started in the morning on a Friday when a soldier who wasn't able to shoot his fellow countrymen killed himself in Shahada, at that time Jale Square. And on that day, there was a rumor that a number of Israeli commandos had come to the streets to kill people, and Mohammad Reza Pahlavi was observing the crime that was being committed under his command while he was flying in a helicopter. The Muslim and pious people of the army separated themselves from the Pahlavi regime on September the 8th, and a gap was therefore created in the army so that the Iranian and American generals could no longer rely on the army for implementing their plans. September the 8th, 1978, wasn't an ordinary day in the Iranian calendar. It was a determining and crucial day which separated the People's Front from the front of their enemies. It was the day which separated light from darkness. It was the day on which Iranian people were tested and did well on this test with the guidance of God and the unique leadership of Imam Khomeini. That day was very sorrowful and tragic, and nothing but the victory of God's religion could compensate for those martyrdoms and relieve those pains.
¶¶